Mishlei, chapter 14. Chachmot Nashim Baneta Veita Ve'ivelet Biyadeha Telsenu. The wisdom of women, that's what builds their home. Like the Torah tells us about a man by the name On Ben Pelet. He was going to become partners with Korach. And his wife told him, hey, what difference does it make? If you're with Moshe, you're not the boss. And if you're with Korach, you're not the boss. So why go with Korach? Mm-hmm. And his wife got him out of it. And he said, but I'm embarrassed. Everyone's going to come. She said, you go lie down. I'll take care of things. And she sat at the entrance to the tent. And she started making her hair. And she made it seem like it was going to be an intimate scene. Everyone who came saw her with her hair uncovered. They made an about face and walked away. So Korach and his men, they say, where's On Ben Pelet? We need him. He's one of the gang leaders. And they say, yeah, but we can't get him. His wife's there, and it's immodest, and we can't really come. So she saved him. He wasn't man enough to stand up and say, no, I'm not going. You guys are wrong. But she saved him. That's a wise wife. The wise woman, she builds the home. And the wisdom of the wife is what builds the home, not the wisdom of the husband. Husband could be very, very wise, but at the end of the day, the house is built by the wife. Ve'ivelet, and a woman who's a fool, bi'adeh telsenu, with her own hands, she'll destroy it. What did Haman's wife tell him? She didn't tell him, hey, don't mess with Mordechai. She didn't tell him, be happy with the wealth you got. She sat there, and she and all his other advisors, they said, why don't you build a tree, hang Mordechai? They ended up getting him hung. A woman who's a fool is going to be the destruction of her husband. There's the story we've quoted a few times. Rabbi Wein always quotes that Snapple, the iced tea corporation.
Rabbi who quoted?
Rabbi Beryl Wein, the historian. He was my Rosh Yeshiva in high school. So he quoted that Snapple got a new CEO. The company was doing great, and he was supposed to be making millions. And after 2 years that he was CEO, that their stocks had gone down almost 50%, and he was fired. And in the speech where he was resigning or fired, whatever it was, he said, you know, my wife told me not to do this job. Everyone else says, yeah. And she said, no, this isn't for you. So a wise woman could be the building of her house, but obviously her husband has to know to listen to her. And the foolish woman will destroy the home. And with her own hands, she'll destroy it. It's not only that you won't give him the good advice to save the house. A foolish woman destroys the home. And this is also true. A woman can choose to destroy the home. It's within her power to build the home, and it's within her power to destroy it. And it's enough that she's foolish for her to destroy it. She doesn't have to have evil intent. She just has to be foolish. That's enough. And wisdom over here doesn't necessarily mean IQ. Wisdom, there's a special wisdom that a person needs to build a home and to be a good wife. And what's called in modern Hebrew, Chochmat Chaim, the wisdom of life, knowing how to be a good wife. So the wisdom of the woman is what builds the home. And a foolish woman destroys the home with her own hands. Korach's wife. Say, just say she's the one that got him riled up. She heard Moshe's president. Aaron is high priest. Moshe's nephew is the Nasi, the prince. And you, Korach, what do you get? So she got him all riled up. And that was the end, the demise of Korach and the whole family. So their kids got away, but she, with her own hands, so to speak, she destroyed the home. And this happens very often. I know of a guy who was in business, and he wasn't doing anything. He was making a lot of money. He was like a silent partner, and he wasn't doing anything. So even though he was supposed to do part of the work, but he didn't. But he was getting a part of the profit. And then one day, his wife got upset. She said, wait a second. Why don't you have the title president? You put up all this money here. And she didn't realize, it's true, he put up a lot of the money, but he didn't do his end of the deal. He wasn't working. So she got him all riled up. What does it mean? You're supposed to be president. Da, 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 da. So he's all riled up. He comes in and he says, I demand to be president. And before he could do an about face, he found himself out of the partnership. Because they said, hey, wait a second, you're demanding to be president? You're not even doing what you're supposed to do. If you're already going to make a fuss, so fine. Go prove that you have a right to anything here. You really owe us money for all the years you haven't done anything. Forget being president. You owe us. And he found himself not only not making the money, but losing a tremendous amount of money. So that's a foolish woman with her own two hands can destroy the home. Holech bi yoshro, yirei Adonai, unilos derachav bozeu. A person who is God-fearing, he goes in his straight path. Holech bi yoshro yirei Hashem. A person who is yirei Hashem, who is God-fearing, goes in his straight path. But nilos derachav, one whose paths are crooked, that's a person who you know is mocking Hashem. When a person is God-fearing, you could see his path is straight. When a person, you see all kinds of things that aren't so straight, you know he's really disgracing Hashem. And this is something which we see time and again, that you want to judge if a person's a God-fearing person, see how straight he is. If he's a God-fearing person, he's going to be straight. If a person claims he's a God-fearing person and he's putting on the act on everything else, he could spend all the time in the world davening a Shmona Esrei. But if when it comes time to do business, he's not straight, so that's a person who's mocking Hashem. B'fi Avil Choter Ga'ava. The fool holds the staff of haughtiness, like Paro, who said, who's Hashem that I should listen to him? So that's a fool. His staff is his haughtiness. That's what he uses. V'siftei chachamim, and the lips of the wise people, tishmurem, is what protects them. A wise person is careful in what he says. You can, today, the secular world says it as well. One of the things that college describe, when colleges describe how a graduate is supposed to sound, they say, one of the lessons that any person who gets a college education is supposed to learn is to speak in moderation. A person who's a fool, so his sentences are all very powerful sentences. Everyone's cheating on their taxes. Everyone is nice, or everyone is not nice. When you speak in general terms, that's a person who's not intelligent. A person who is intelligent, who's seen the world, he's careful in what he says. No one's as good as this as I am. No one's as good a cook as my wife. You hear big sentences, you know you're not dealing with a very intelligent person. The fool, his staff is his haughtiness. And the wise person, his lips are going to protect him. He's going to be careful. He's going to use measured words. Be'ein alafim evus bar. When you don't have oxen, so then the trough is empty. Because if you don't have oxen to work the fields, so you won't have any, you won't even have the hay in your house. Verov tevuot bechoach shor. And when one has an ox working, so he'll have a lot of grain. And what's this referring to? Our sages say that this refers to where there aren't tamidei chachamim, where you don't have rabbis around, you're not going to have halacha. And if you have tamidei chachamim around, you'll have halacha. If you have no oxen, so it's true, you don't even have hay. You have an ox, so it's true the ox eats hay, but it produces a lot of hay and grain. If you don't have oxen, so you won't even have the hay that you feed the oxen. You'll have nothing. So people sometimes look at the expense, and they should understand what the value is. And this is important because people sometimes think, I'll go live in this community. And they check out maybe what houses there are there, and they check out what swimming pools are around, and they don't check out what schools are there for their children, and they don't check out who the rabbi is and what the shul is like. A person, when he's deciding where he's going to live and how he's going to raise his family, so he has to look at what's important in life. The first thing a person should check when he's looking at where he's going to live is what chinuch institutions there are there. Eid emunim lo yechazev, the yafiach kezavim Eid Shaker. A truthful witness won't tell lies. And a witness who's a liar is going to constantly be blowing lies. A person has to get used to being a truthful person. When a person is a truthful person, then he doesn't say a single lie. People have to be careful. They think a little white lie, a this lie, a that lie. No. A truthful witness is someone who doesn't lie. It's not that he sometimes lies. And people have to know that once a person starts lying, he's going to be lying all the time. This concept also applies in halacha. The question is, when you hear a non-Jew speaking about something, and he's mesech lefitumo, he's speaking by the way. By the way, you hear him talking. He's standing outside the barn, he's talking to his friend, and he's saying, yeah, I was at the front, boy, it was so tough, they were shooting at us, we were shooting back, and this guy sitting right next to me, you know, this Jew, his name was Jacob Myers, you know, Jacob Myers from the town over the hill, Jacob Myers, who had this gold tooth in the front, and he had a scar running right down by his right eye, so he was shooting right next to me, and a bullet hit him, smack him between the eyes, and we checked his pulse, and we tried, and the poor man was dead, and we had to bury him, and hell, it was terrible, and they were shooting at us. So you hear the guy talking, by the way, he doesn't know you're listening. Can you go to Jacob Meyer's wife and tell her, I just heard that guy talking, he's dead. You could get married again? We know that a non-Jew can't walk into a Jewish court and testify. We're not going to believe him. He's going to say Jacob Meyer's died. We say, we can't trust you, I'm sorry, we have to have other testimony that Jacob Meyer's died in order to allow his wife to get remarried. But if he's Mesiach Lefi Tumo, let's say he's talking, by the way, he's talking to his friend, he doesn't even know you're listening. He's not talking testimony. Can you trust him? So there are times that we say, Mesiach Lefi Tumo, you could believe him. And there are times that we say that a liar is always going to lie. So he exaggerated. So he lied. You can't believe a word he says, even though he's Mesiach Lefi Tumo. So the Pasuk is teaching us over here, if a person is a liar, you should know that everything that blows out of his mouth is a lie. You can't trust anything he says. People sometimes say, if he tells you to go left, go right. Bikesh letz chokhma v'ayin. The letz, the joker. Sometimes he needs advice, sometimes he needs wisdom, and he can't find it. When a person is accustomed to joking and he can't take anything seriously, so even when he needs it for his own good, he's trying to be serious for a second, to think clearly, to figure out what's right. But when a person is accustomed to making fun of everything, and he tries to get wisdom, he's not going to find it. Vedat lenavon nakal, and a person who's wise, who's understanding, who always deals with things with understanding, he'll have an easy time figuring things out. He'll have an easy time learning things, and he'll have an easy time finding solutions. And this is, you see this all the time. People are accustomed to thinking, to analyzing situations and figuring out solutions. So when problems arise, they know how to break it down and find a solution. People who spend their lives making fun of problems and making fun of issues, when they have to deal with real issues in their life, they don't know where to begin. People have to be accustomed to dealing with life seriously and figuring out solutions, and then they'll be able to do it. I always say, if you go and take counsel with a rabbi, understand what he's telling you. People are accustomed to every question I'll ask him, whatever he says I do, you don't begin to understand what he's saying. So when you'll have to understand, then he won't be around, you'll have to figure out what the answer is, what are you going to do? I once asked, I was consulting with a big rabbi, I told him, I want to learn by him. I want to be by him to see how he passes, how he answers questions that are asked him. And he told me, but if you'll be by me, you won't learn well on your own. And it's very important that you learn on your own. Most of the day you won't be by me. And if you spend the time commuting here and back, and you're not going to be able to learn on your own. You're not going to learn well on your own. So I told him, but if I spend my whole life learning on my own, how will I ever know to answer questions? I need the experience of seeing how you answer things. So he said, no. Learn on your own. That's the most important. To develop your own thought, to develop your way of learning. This was after I had learned by rabbis for quite a few years. I wanted more to learn by him. So I asked him, I said, but you were the disciple of the greatest posik from the last generation. Isn't that where you learned how to answer all the questions? So he said, no. I asked him, what do you mean, no? He said, look, I'll show you a lot of people who studied by the same rabbis I did. And all they did all day was listen to what that rabbi answered when people asked them questions. So they could quote you 100 quotes, 1,000 quotes. But when they get a case that they didn't hear before the great rabbis that we all studied by, they can't answer the question because they didn't develop their own thought. They didn't learn on their own how do you answer questions like this. Not just what he answered on the specific questions, but how do you reach that bottom line? When you learn, you have to learn not only what did so-and-so answer, but how did he get to that conclusion? So he said, I don't have as many quotes as they do because I didn't spend my time listening to every word the rabbi said. I spent my time understanding why they were answering those answers. So a person, even in his learning Torah, has to develop the thought process, the learning how to reach conclusions, how to decide what the answer is. And when you ask a rabbi a question, you should try to also understand why he's giving whatever answer he's giving you. It's not always feasible. Sometimes you don't have the basics. You don't have the foundations you need to understand all the things the rabbi has considered. But when it is feasible, then it's worthwhile to know that. Lech mineged liish kesil. When you see a fool, you should go the other way. Don't attach yourself with a fool. People sometimes think, what do I care if he's a fool? It's not true. A fool damages everyone who's in his company. You see him, go the other way. Don't make a partnership with him. Uval yadata siftei dat. If you do go into a partnership with him, then you will end up not knowing wisdom yourself. People get accustomed to things. You're with a fool, you end up being a fool. You end up sounding like a fool. That's why we always stress that a person should make sure to be in good company. The company a person is with is going to ultimately define who the person is. Oh. You guys want to call it quits? See, everyone's heads are down.
I'm not
trying to figure out where you are.
I'm holding Pasuk Ches.
No,
we just did 7, now we're holding by 8. What's the vote?